Christ is risen, alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is Rogate Sunday. Rogate is a Latin word which means ask. It's an imperative, a command. You pray. Praying is something mentioned in all three of our readings. Paul says that it is good and pleasing to God when we pray, using the synonyms supplications, intercessions, and thanksgivings. God commands us to pray, as you all learned when we studied the Our Father. Historically, the Christian church has observed Rogate Sunday as a prayer vigil before Ascension, and also because farmers are planting crops. It reminds us that God is the one who blesses the seed that is sown into the soil and gives it growth so that we might receive our daily bread, as well as the seed of the Word of God, which is planted in our hearts and minds. So Rogate means also that we pray for all people, as St. Paul writes. And is customary on Rogate, we will pray the litany as the prayer of the church. And you might want to mark that ahead. It's on page 288 in your hymnal. Today, as a congregation, we are going to pray specifically for these four confirmands as they renew the vows that were made for them at their baptisms. Today they speak those vows for themselves in the rite known as confirmation. Confirmation does not bestow any gifts that have not already been given in holy baptism. It is merely a God-pleasing rite in which those who have been instructed in the main doctrines of the Christian faith speak with their own lips this confession and are admitted to the sacrament of the altar. We pray that they continue in the one true faith until our Lord brings them to everlasting life. Jesus makes an amazing statement here. He tells us that we have direct access to the Father in heaven. We do not need anyone to intercede for us before the Father, only Christ himself. Boldly we go to the throne of the Father in Jesus' name. But what does that mean, to ask in Jesus' name? It means that we ask with faith in him as our only Savior from sin, death, and hell. As Jesus was soon to ascend into heaven, he did not leave us without access to the Father. He told his disciples that they would no longer ask him for things. They would ask the Father directly. You and I go to him as dear children ask their dear Father. And we know that our Father in heaven hears us because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is our mediator in heaven, our go-between with the Father. This really helps us remember our baptism. In the unit exam on holy baptism, you catechumens were asked to name the date on which you were baptized. Think of that date right now. I'll give you a moment to think. And while I don't remember the date, I remember that I baptized two of you. And other than the date of your physical birth, your baptismal date is the most important day of your life, because that is the day that you really began to live. You were baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. You got the whole physical death thing over with, and you received eternal life, the life of Christ. He is our risen Lord who lives in you because of your baptism. God the Holy Spirit, the author and giver of life, conveyed the life of Christ to you in place of your death. Christ lives in you, and you will remember that every time you receive the true body and blood of your Lord in the sacrament of the altar. Christ keeps feeding your faith, keeping it alive. Jesus spoke these words on Maundy Thursday, just before he was betrayed and arrested. He wanted his disciples and all his disciples ever after, all of us, to be ready for life in this world after he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He did not leave us alone, but he and the Father have sent the Holy Spirit to keep us in the true faith. But Jesus still comes to us now, yet in a different way. He comes to us through his word and sacraments. By ascending to the right hand of the Father, Jesus is able to be present for all Christians, no matter where they are in this world. His gracious presence is not confined to a specific place. And so you are not alone. Christ continues to be with you. This is very, very important. Because the world is not a friendly place for us Christians. The old evil foe continues to assault us every day. The world, that is, unbelievers who do not confess Christ, will find ways to cause us trouble, even persecute us to our deaths. When I was confirmed, I heard those words too. And yet none of us really believed that Christians would be so persecuted here in America. That was something that happened in far-off places in the world that none of us would probably ever visit. In the world, you will have tribulation. There are synonyms for that word. One is harassment. Another is tribulation. Another is persecution. The parallel is that the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ become ours. We share Christ's sufferings because we have been baptized into his name. The Apostle Paul tells us that suffering produces endurance. The life of the Christian is not trouble-free. Quite the opposite. Because you belong to Christ, you should expect trouble from the world. Satan wants to separate you from your Savior. But he won't win. We pray in the name, preserve your word, O Savior, these words. Preserve, O Lord, your honor. The bold blasphemer smite. These are pretty strong words as we ask God to deal finally with those who hate him. The electronic news has shown people carrying signs that read, F your God. And it is directed against the Holy Trinity and the only Savior of the world. These are the words of the prince of demons. And so it is entirely proper that we should pray that God would deal with such persons. God's honor is at stake. We should pray that God would put an end to such blasphemy which curses his holy name. Sanctuaries have been vandalized for standing up on behalf of unborn babies. The unbelieving world hates that and hates those who confess that God the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. These people threaten violence against those who make that confession. Crazed persons have slain Christians gathered for worship. Persecution or tribulation seems far away for young people your age. You have caring parents and loving families to shield and protect you from much of it. But as you grow older, you will confront troubles. And even now, you may be on the receiving end of such hatred from your peers at school because you do not conform to their values. trouble will happen. Yet Jesus gives us a tremendous promise here, which is comforting not only to your parents, but especially to you. And I do not want you ever, ever to forget it. And here it is. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world and all of the troubles that it brings. And I suppose that even children of your age have heard the news reports of the awful war in Ukraine and how these people have been driven out of their homes and their cities are bombed and how they have fled to neighboring nations for protection. It's hard for us in America to grasp what it would be like to have no home, no school, no church, and our loved ones taken away. We say that they have lost everything. All of those things that belong to the fourth petition of the Our Father. But believers do not lose everything if they have Christ. You have everything you need. For God has given it to you in Christ. When Jesus says that he has overcome the world, he is telling us that the ultimate victory already belongs to him. And that's why these words are read in the Easter season. When Jesus died on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." He finished the work that only he could do, that is, give his life as a ransom for all people, to pay the penalty of our sin and our guilt, so that he could reconcile us to the Father in heaven. He rose as the victor over sin, death, and hell. He defeated Satan for good. The outcome is not in doubt. Our Lord Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, and there he lives and reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords forever. And you have access to the Father. You can pray to him, and he will hear you because of Jesus. One of my dear granddaughters, and I have 11 of them, is handicapped. Evangelina is afflicted with cerebral palsy, and she has a hard time with words. Formulating her thoughts. Telephone calls with her are interesting. Her pastor told her this about prayer, since she can't string together too many phrases. He said, "Evangelina, when trouble comes, pray this: Jesus, help." He's a wise man and a good pastor. And sometimes your only prayer will be, "Jesus, help," or "Lord, have mercy." And be sure of this, your prayer will be heard because Jesus has promised to hear. The world will give you trouble, some of it severe. None of us knows how many years God will give you on this earth. Only he knows. But this we know, we have his peace. Jesus earned peace with the Father for you. He gives you his peace in his word of absolution, and especially in his true body and blood in the sacrament. And Luther's hymn reminds us, "Peace with God once more is made." Take heart, then, you who are dearly loved by Christ. It's another way of saying, take courage, live boldly, because you belong to Christ, who is the victor over the world. And he promises to bring you to the glories of heaven so long as you remain faithful to him and continue to receive his gifts. You'll fall into sin. We are weak. Sometimes we're faithless, but God never is. He promises to bring his good work to completion on the last day. He promises to bring you body and soul to everlasting life. So while these words are directed mostly to you, they are also meant for everyone else here today. To you young adults, this promise is made as your troubles in life increase. To you in middle age, with all the struggles of midlife, this promise continues to be made. To you who are aged and contend daily with the maladies of age, those chronic conditions, those with daily pains, both physical and emotional, take heart. Christ has overcome the world. He is the victor. His victory is yours. And so today we pray in the confidence that our Father in heaven will hear all our prayers, that he does not deny them if they are prayed in Christ's name, and because his blood covers all our sins. We pray for you that God the Holy Spirit will bring you at last to eternal life with Christ our Lord and a happy reunion with all those who have confessed his name in this life. Christ is risen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.